Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Bill Spector.
Hello there, nice to meet you, Katie.
So how did you become drawn to telling ghost stories?
Well, it's a slightly long story, but many years ago I trained as an actor. And I then worked as an actor for some years, but I decided that I wasn't earning enough money when I met my wife, so I had to find something else to do. So I started doing something else for quite a long time. And then it occurred to me that I could start something, a little ghost tour. But it would be a more interesting of a ghost tour, I thought, if I had a few little entertainments involved in it, and I involved people with the stories, and I had a few volunteers, and I dressed up, and I created this character, Bill Spector. So I started doing my little tour in Burford, and that went down very well. So I expanded from there, and I met some very fine people from the Oxford Story, who are on Broad Street. It's now where Kath Kitson exists, I believe. And they helped me get started. And so it grew from that, really. That's how it came about. Good fun. I've been very lucky.
I've been on your tours.
I'm glad to hear it.
And they're a sort of mixture of history, fun, but also a little bit of scare.
A little bit of scare. But I think it's important to involve the people as well, because that way they've made some sort of a commitment toward the evening. And if they make a commitment towards it, they feel more involved and it just becomes a little more interesting all around, I hope. Well, that's my plan anyway. And I know that illusions aren't going to make Paul Daniels or any of the other major magicians break into a sweat with fear themselves, but they're just a little bit of entertainment along the way, I hope. That's the plan. So I just try to involve people as much as possible and make it as much fun as possible, with a little bit of scariness and a little bit of history in there as well. I'm trying to please as many people as possible and make it as much fun as possible. I want to make it an entertainment rather than just a person blagging on about ghosts and stories and all the rest of it. I'm just trying to make it as much fun as I possibly can.
And I can say that it is a lot of fun. How long are your tours?
Well, it depends where you start. If you choose to start down outside Oxford Castle and Locked, which is where I start on a 6:30 most Fridays and Saturdays, that would be a tour which would last about 1 hour and 40 minutes, I suppose, in total, including a small pause whilst we gather up more souls when we arrive at Broad Street outside the Information Centre. Many people who book the private tours don't use the bit down at the castle, so they, and if they want a shorter tour on my public tours, they can join outside the Information Centre, which would last about 70 minutes, I suppose.
And you go all over Oxford?
Well, yes. It was difficult. When I first started researching Oxford, I spent a long time hunting through the archives of Isis magazine and all the books and histories I could find about Oxford, and there are plenty of them, for as many spooky stories that I could find. And I wrote them all down and I compiled them and I got a big map on my wall and I said where a rough synopsis of where all the stories were. And then I thought, well, I've got to make the walk as interesting as possible. So I decided to take it mainly around the centre of Oxford. I just incorporate the stories that relate to those particular venues. It's mainly the centre of Oxford, but there is a little bit of a spur for those who want to enjoy the spookiness of the outside of Oxford Castle Unlocked, which is also very nice. And there are actually, possibly, if anybody's interested, I mean, there are plenty of stories just down there on their own, but I only tell mainly one main story. Well, we make contact with a lady that was hanged there in 1752, a certain Mary Blandy, who does hopefully often make contact with people on my ghost trails, which is very handy. She lurks around for me and waits for me and makes contact with the punters on that particular night.
That's good. You got a good relationship with her?
Oh, yes. I do my best.
Is there a particular spot in Oxford that is notorious for being haunted?
It's a bit of a sad story, but it is, I suppose, the most haunted place, probably. Well, there are various locations. I suppose the one that I'm slightly nervous about telling the story about, but I do because it's important in Oxford, and it's Oxford's history, is on, of course, Broad Street, and that little cross in the road, which many of you listeners out there in Webland have seen in the past as you walked up Broad Street. There's a little cross in the road, and that is, of course, where the martyrs were supposedly burnt in the 16th century, Thomas Cranmer, Hugh Latimer, and Nicholas Ridley. So that is possibly one of the most haunted places. I don't know, but a lot of people have experienced strange things, in particular down New College Lane, which is quite a spooky, long lane with high walls on either side. But many people have seen and heard things down there in the past, yes.
Has anyone experienced anything on your tours?
Well, of course, as I say, usually somebody experiences Mary Blandy on the nights of my tour, but people have said that down that particular lane, down New College Lane, they have just felt uncomfortable, a slight feeling of discomfort down there. And often, and it's not at all associated with me, and it's not on the nights when I'm doing my tours, I did have one person who said that they'd heard horses going up the street there on Christmas itself, and they'd experienced the sound of horses going up there, and that is, of course, where apparently Royalist cavalrymen would assemble during the Civil War before they went off to battle. So who knows, but that is something that they'd experienced. And also, just a little bit down from New College itself, heading towards St. Edmund's College, there is a lamppost on a particular corner, and people sometimes take a picture on that corner, especially when the sun is just at the right angle, and they've got the background of one of the colleges there, and the lamp is lit up, and it's a very nice-looking silhouette of the college behind it. And a little while ago, somebody took a picture down there, just with their phone, and they were surprised when they got back to the hotel room that they'd waited till all the audience had got out of the way. There was nobody there at all. They took the picture, and they saw an interesting picture of what appeared to be a blurry image in the foreground of what looked like a woman wearing a bustle and a crinoline dress draped out behind her, making her way down the lane. Now, it is admittedly very blurry, but it's something very odd, and they swear there was nobody in front of the camera at all at the time when they took that picture. So who knows? That's the thing about ghosts. You can never prove whether they exist or not. But I think all of those of you out there in Webland know that they do exist, don't you, ladies and gentlemen?
Do you believe in ghosts yourself?
I do. Very strange things have happened to me in the past. Just after my father died, and he was a bit of a smoker. He liked to roll his own cigarettes. Now, it was some years after he had died, and I went into a room at his old house where my mother was still living, and I could suddenly smell his tobacco smoke. And it was very strange, because no one had smoked in there since he died some years before, and it was a very, very strong smell. And again, why was that there? I don't smoke myself, and it was very odd. So who knows?
What's your favourite ghost story to tell from the tour?
Well, there are many stories there, but I suppose somehow, I don't quite know why, but one of my favourites is a story that goes on down Brasenose Lane. Because by walking down that lane in the middle of the 19th century, and by looking through a little window about halfway down that lane, you'd be looking directly into the headquarters of the Brasenose Hellfire Club, based on the West Wickham Hellfire Club, where drunkenness, atheism, and sex were the norm. Not much change from student life today, Katie, no. I don't suppose, no. But it was in that little lane that the ultimate villain is said to have made an appearance. And I'm talking about the devil himself. For it is he who is said to have stood in that very lane, just by that window, in the 19th century. Now, nothing has changed down that lane from that time to this. Then, as now, that little window has iron bars down it with a wire mesh wrapped over the front, making it impossible to be used as an exit point, or so you might have imagined. Now, a certain Reverend T.T. Churton was making his way down that lane in the 19th century, and he was surprised to see what appeared to be a cloaked man standing by that window, and he appeared to be pulling somebody out through that window. Well, that was impossible, for even if the wire mesh had been removed, the iron bars would have made it unfeasible for a man to pass through, surely. But as he came a little closer, he could see in utter horror that neither the bars nor the mesh had been removed, and that the screaming man was being forced face first out through that window like meat through a mincer. Well, the cloaked man ignored the terrified pleas of the Don and continued with his ghastly task. Well, the Reverend then ran around the corner, pounded on the lodge gates, which were opened by a startled porter who let him into the college. Now, both men then heard terrified screams coming from that room, and on entering they found Edward Trafford, the president of the Hellfire Club, lying in a pool of blood, dead. Well, the other members later admitted he had been in the middle of a blasphemous service, trying to summon up the devil, when he'd passed out on the floor. It later transpired he had died of a burst blood vessel. But nobody could explain why he had wire mesh marks crisscrossed over his face. Now, to his dying day, the Reverend Churton swore that he had seen the devil, but as the only other witness on the scene was indeed the devil himself, we may never know the whole truth.
If that doesn't make you want to go on the tour, I don't know what will. So, obviously, Halloween is a busy time of year for you. What activities have you got coming up?
Well, it is busy. Tomorrow in the afternoon, I'm doing a ghost tour of Christ Church College, which has got some nice stories there as well, and that includes a little bit of a tea there as well, and that's when I shall be telling some non-Oxford-based, well, one particular Oxford-based ghost story. So that is in the afternoon, and then generally during the evenings I've got private bookings for the ghost trail for various people, various colleges, various companies, and unfortunately I'm not doing any public bookings until Friday and Saturday. But I'm then doing a tour at 6:30 on Friday night and at 9 p.m. on Friday night. And again on Saturday, I'm doing the one at 6:30 and 9 p.m. on both of those nights. So people can spread themselves around. Now, the scariest, busiest tour will be at 6:30 on Saturday the 31st, because that is a Saturday and it is, of course, Halloween night itself. So if people would prefer a quieter tour, it's probably best to come at 9 o'clock on that particular night.
Hmm. That'd be scarier.
Well, it will be. Yeah, it'll be quieter as well. But it may not be. It may be scarier through people who have indulged in spirits of their own. I don't know.
So you've already mentioned that you take private tours. Now, you don't do ghost tours just in Oxford.
If anybody contacts me, they could possibly come along. But I am doing Woodstock. I was asked to do a few tours because of the Randolph Hotel, who have in Woodstock, and, of course, at Stratford-upon-Avon. So I've done a tour there a couple of times. And anyway, so occasionally I do want this one in Woodstock, which I've researched. So I'm doing a tour there at 4 o'clock on Saturday, but that is for a caravan club. The caravan club are basing themselves in Woodstock, and they're all coming on my tour at 4 o'clock. But they have said that if other people want to come along, they're welcome. So that's another option for people. And I also do tours in Burford, and that was where I started my tours, and there's some lovely stories in Burford. And curiously, that is the one place where nearly every single time I did the tours there, people told me spooky goings-on and strange events that had happened there. People said, I don't believe in ghosts myself, but this odd thing happened in my house, and all sorts of stories like that.
Wow.
So Burford is particularly haunted, I think. Oh, I also do classic ghost stories, a couple of classic ghost stories that I do. I did one recently for the Kirtlington WI. I do the Monkey's Paw, which is a lovely story about a paw that gives the owners of this paw three particular wishes, but somehow they go badly wrong. And I also do the Judge's House by Bram Stoker, very reminiscent of Dracula, his story there, the Judge's House. And I also do corporate dinner events for people. They don't want a ghost tour, but they want me to come and entertain them between their courses. And again, I get them up and tell them some of the local stories of where they happen to be. And I get volunteers up and we get involved in the stories that way as well. But mainly that's a fun entertainment, or that's the plan anyway.
Maybe that's something worth saying, that, as you said before, it is a interactive ghost tour.
Yes, yes.
I've been one of the volunteers before, a reluctant volunteer, I'll admit.
Oh dear, I know.
But it was good fun.
Yes, I know, it's always, people sometimes are a little reluctant, but I think that once they've done it, they feel proud of themselves. Did you feel proud of yourself, Katie?
I think I did, yes. My friends enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, good.
As well.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear it. Good. They enjoyed watching you suffering, probably.
Oh, they did.
Didn't they?
They loved it. Just to round up, your ghost tours are suitable for any age?
Yes, I do lots of ages, lots of... I suppose if they're particularly little, it may be a little bit harder for them to follow. They've certainly been there on tours of all ages. Yes, literally all ages come along. And I suppose it does slightly change when I have a lot of young children along, because they're all very keen to do the volunteering. So it does slightly change the feel of it slightly, because they're much more eager to volunteer, which lets the grown-ups off the hook somewhat.
And how much are tickets?
Well, the adult price is £8, a bargain, I think you'll find, ladies and gentlemen. And children between 5 and 12 are £4, and mid-age people are between 13 and 16 is £6. I had to put the middle-age group in because I couldn't tell, frankly, whether people were 21 or 13. So I thought I've got to charge a little bit more for teenagers because I couldn't tell. Yeah. So I think I hope to keep my prices as low as I possibly can because I want people to enjoy it. And it's more fun if there are more people there as well, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.